And we'll start our reading at verse number 16. The Apostle Peter had been put into prison, and an angel came and let him out. And it was Herod who put him in the prison. And then we're going to see what happened unto the prison guards. The prison guards. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 16 through verse number 19. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir or disturbance among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him, Acts 12:19, and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Let's pray, and then we'll open this word and preach the gospel. Our Father, as we pray unto you, we ask you for power and strength to speak to us by the gospel, humility to be able to hear, speak of Christ, and correction where it is needed. Humble our hearts to fear you and to receive your word without transgression, without transferring its meaning unto something else, but receiving it as it truly is by your Holy Spirit. Be with us now in this hour. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, Father, we ask you, we beg you. Amen. I'm very thankful to be here once again this evening. If you're not able to hear me well, you might want to squeeze in into here, and we may get the microphone on later. But I'm encouraged. It was by the attendance, and it was by the attention, and even the controversy over the grace of God, that salvation is free, it's full, it's complete, and it's eternal. What we want to bring you right now out of this text of scripture, in verse number 19 of Acts 12, let's read it again. It is a warning. But when Herod had searched for Peter and not found him, I remember that they had imprisoned him. They had already killed James, the brother of John, earlier in this chapter in verse number 2. And since he saw that it pleased of the Jews, all the people, is he took Peter and he was going to slaughter him at the Passover. But Peter escaped, an angel came. I don't expect an angel to come in person anywhere on earth. But they do come in their own mysterious way and set people free from captivity and bondage and deliver us out of all kinds of trouble. But in this day, an angel actually came. And he delivered Peter. And so when Herod, in verse 19, searched for him and not found him, he's not there, he's let go, he's free, he is with the disciples, he sends message to even tell James, the Lord's brother. It says that Herod examined the guards, the people that are in this conspiracy to keep God's people bound, and commanded, Acts 12:19, that they should be put to death. This is a warning. This is a horrible end that is going to come upon all those who rebel against the gospel. This gospel is not an optional matter. It has to be received as it really is. I have no right to change the gospel into what I want it to be. It's a gospel of grace, and I must know it as it is. It's in Colossians 1. Here is something that is put to us by the Apostle Paul. Verse number 4 through 6. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. How many gospels are there? There's only one gospel. It's the gospel of God's grace, his sovereign grace. Is our foundation, is it's called the Sovereign Grace African Foundation, because we recognize the sovereignty of God's grace in the gospel. That means he chooses who is going to be saved. He calls all men unto himself with the gospel. But only those people he chooses come to understand it and believe it for what it truly is. He humbles us and causes us to choose Christ and to receive the truth of the gospel on his terms, and so that our ideas about salvation and about who God is they mean nothing. And we put them aside. And that is what repentance is. It's not merely a repentance of my outside works, of my fornication, of my drunkenness, of my thieving, my stealing, my hurting other people. it isn't only my blasphemy is if I say I hate God or I'm a Muslim or I'm a witch doctor, but I come to the true gospel. I'll tell you a story about me. I was a preacher, but I did not know the gospel of God's grace and truth because I had been blinded by the deceitfulness of men and the devil to believe that my works of righteousness counted for something. That it was God's work and my work. It was Christ's work plus my work. That was a deception. I didn't know the grace of God in truth, even though I was sincere. I was a preacher who prided myself on my sincerity. I'm the same in my closet as I am in the pulpit. But that's not good enough. Salvation's not by sincerity only, it's by the truth and sincere faith. It's both. I have to have the truth. Which he says in verse 6, this word of the truth, of the gospel, which has come to you, it's come to you. As it has also in all of the world. That's how God saves his people. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why he sends us as missionaries. If the truth, if it does not matter, I have no reason to be here. I have no reason to leave California if the truth of the gospel is not important. There are enough churches here for the whole world. Probably, I'm sure, there are more churches in the Christian section of Nigeria than anywhere in the world. I've been to Kenya and other African countries. I've never seen more churches. I've been in the West, not even close. Our people back home in California don't even attend church. It's the same in Europe. They don't attend church. They are turning their churches into coffee houses and art galleries and schools and offices. They don't attend church. But if the truth of the gospel is not important, let us eat, drink, and be merry. But if the truth of the gospel is important, and God says it is, then we have to go into all of the world and preach and teach the gospel, is because it is those who come to believe the gospel that are truly saved. Not a gospel, not a sincere religion that I've made up on my own, but the word of the truth of the gospel. That's what he said. Which has come unto you is as it has in all the world. It's spreading about and is bringing forth fruit. It brings forth fruit as it is believed. And as it also is among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. In truth, let me ask you a question. Do you have to know the truth of the gospel in order to be saved?
Yes.
Yes. That's what it says. Yes. And what is going to happen unto us if we rebel against this truth and resist the truth? If we say, well, that's not as to what I heard before. That's not what I believe. That's not what I like about God. That's not what I think. That's not what I've been taught. That isn't the things I have been told. What does it matter? Who cares what you and I have been told? The only thing that matters on earth is the word of the truth of the gospel and believing it with all of our heart that we might be saved. And if we don't, the same thing is going to happen unto us as happened unto those soldiers. They were killed and put to death. Now, these soldiers were killed, it was by man. It was at the hands of Herod. But the picture that I'm showing you, my brethren, is that God Almighty, at the end of time, He's going to answer us according unto our folly. He's going to ask us to give an account. And if we've done well, then we shall be rewarded with everlasting life in paradise. If we have done evilly, if I believed a false gospel and held unto it, no matter what the preacher said from the Bible, and I could see it was true, but I resisted it because I didn't like it, I didn't want it, I didn't want to believe it, or just maybe I'm in a confusion and I can't see it. If I'm confused about the gospel of grace, I better pray. I better give my life's ambition to understanding these things, because he said that ever since you heard it and you knew it in truth, it brought forth fruit. It brought forth fruit. So that is what me and you is we're going to be looking at, the truth of the gospel. It's in this opening half. And we'll have a few questions, then we'll hit the second half. But let's go back into our text, Acts chapter number 12. Verse number 19. There are three things that I want us to see in this text. One, they could not find Peter. All of God's, the elect of God escape. Two, these people were put to death. These soldiers, even though it was not the soldiers' fault that Peter had been arrested, that is the decision, it came down from Herod, but they followed Herod. You hear? The Ethiopian jailer, what did he do after he heard the word? Not the Ethiopian jailer, the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16. What did he do after Paul had preached unto him the gospel? He repented, and he took Paul home and he cleaned his wounds. And then Paul preached unto his whole house, and everybody in the house was saved. He repented. And so, but him saying, hey, it's the boss told me. It's the pastor told me. It's the preacher told me. That won't be accepted with God. And then the third thing is not in the text, but I'm going to pull it out, is whosoever it believes shall be saved. It's as easy as that. But here's the first thing. Acts 12, verse 19. But when Herod had searched for Peter and not found him, what happened? The elect of God are going to be delivered by God Almighty. It's because God is in charge of the salvation of sinners. Your souls are too precious for God to send you to hell, because you have been chosen by God and He paid your redemption already. That's why He goes out in the preaching of the gospel and He fetches you. There is nothing, and we're going to be learning about this, it'll be even more, it will be even more in the second half. There is nothing that is going to stop God from saving His people. There is nothing that is going to hinder Him. He came and He got you because He loved you and He chose you from the foundation of the world. And if you can hear my voice in a saving way with faith, He's talking unto you if you believe the gospel. There's absolutely nothing that's going to stop Him. Herod tried to stop Him. The church of God is going to succeed, sir. It's not in any trouble. It is troubled, but it is not shaken. It is moved, but it's not movable off of its purpose. The gates of hell shall not let a single child of God escape, but for the power of God, and they will. He will open them. He will bind Satan. He will cast out that deceiver. He will understand our weakness and come get us. And He'll carry us on His shoulder. He will unchangingly save His people. Here's what I'm saying. The church of God, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. It's the book of Genesis. Chapter number 50. Old Herod. He tried to stop Christianity. How dare he? Oh, what's happened under old Herod now? Is the Bible says that the worms ate him after he gave a speech and he didn't give God glory. He killed him on the spot. Herod is no match for God. And neither are you and I. So I'm going to bow down and I'm going to surrender to whatever God says in the Bible at any time, because He is God and you and I are not. And in the book of Genesis in chapter 50 is a man named Joseph. What happened unto him? He's supposed to be dead. And then they stopped that. They had almost killed him. All the brothers said, let's kill him. But was it Reuben said? No. Let's just sell him into slavery. He's supposed to be dead or in prison because Potiphar's wife has called him an adulterer and a rapist. He's supposed to be dead or in prison. But in in the book of Genesis chapter 50 as to is as that is where is he? Is the dream came and said, all your brothers are going to bow down to you. He dreamed again and said, even your mother and father are going to bow down unto you. In Genesis 50, as to where is he? He's sitting on the throne. He's in charge of all Egypt. And all powers in his hands as God's ambassador in Egypt. Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne right now after all they did to murder him. And God punished him, but he raised him from the dead. It's evil shall not prevail. It will be good that prevails at the end of time. Always. It's always winning. Even if it dies, it's winning because there is a resurrection. But look at verse number 20 from Genesis chapter 50. It's his brothers, are they all bowed down before him? They're scared. They're thinking that he's going to kill them after their father died. After Jacob died. But in chapter 50, verse 19 and 20, Joseph said to them, his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it for evil, Herod. He meant the overthrow and destruction of God's church. But as to what came out of that, a prayer meeting. An angel, a miraculous deliverance in God's kingdom. Thank you, sir. Is the kingdom of God. It kept on going. It did not slow down or miss a beat. And the kingdom of God, saints, in Nigeria, it cannot be slowed down. It cannot be thwarted. It cannot be stopped. Because our power is Almighty God and it's His purpose. His purpose. And He's going to bring good out of evil. But as for you, is you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Everything that you were doing to destroy and overthrow Christianity, it was actually meant by God for the salvation of His people. In order to bring it about, just as it is this day, to save any people alive. And this exaltation of Joseph is as a savior. If the Almighty God exalts us, it's to save other people. It's our exaltation in prayer. It's our exaltation in service that we live our life to serve other people that they may be saved. This is God Almighty's purpose and His exaltation because it's the only thing He's doing in this world is saving His people and sending the others to hell. That's it. I was on my Facebook page. Thank you, sir. And I have a friend that's in Castina, and she posted, it was on her page, there's a program, I guess it was in Port Harcourt, and on the program it said, it's recovery and prosperity. It's recovery and success, prosperity. What they mean is money. And I wrote her back and I said, what kind of prosperity are they talking about? What kind of a recovery? And she got a little bit sheepish. She said, oh, I'm just advertising the program. I said, it's a wicked program. When men and women come into the house of God and promise us money as a reward of serving God, it's a wicked program. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5 tells us clearly, any man that is preaching that if you're godly, then you're going to have health and wealth. He is destitute of the truth and he doesn't know God. Ask Job, is prosperity is the reward of serving God and being holy? He is the most righteous man on earth, and he's afflicted and he's covered with boils because God Almighty owes no man anything as far as health and wealth is concerned. And you can be the holiest Christian in the world and be broke right here in Nigeria. This church, it can be the holiest church in the world and have no money and have financial problems everywhere. Is our organization, we do medical mission, is because I'm not offering people any false promises. If you serve God well, then you won't get sick. No, I'd rather bring a doctor. Oh, God's program is the salvation of your soul. Something more precious than your body and your pocket is your soul, is the health of your soul, is the goodness of your soul, is your obedience. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't have money. He said, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I own no property. I own absolutely no property. He didn't own any property. I have no salary. Just by faith, some people give to support me each month, and I'm astonished at how many thousands of dollars I've raised without telling anybody to send me money. Because I've prayed unto Almighty God, and your souls are more precious than money. That's why I left California. And if he sent me, it's on him to provide for me. And that's the answer. It's unto prayer. Because God is in control of the big things. And if me and you are about the big things of the salvation of souls of sinners, he will lead us and guide us and direct us. And if he wanted me to get a job, I would get one. But in his grace, he has blessed me to give my life unto this work as other people give to support me so I can preach the gospel unto you, because your souls are more important to God than anything but his glory. And his glory is connected in the salvation of his people. So he's not going to stop. He's not going unto relent until he gets us all unto Christ Jesus, whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. Is it making sense, saints? It's your souls are important. And he's got you because he loves you. And he's not going to let you go. And all hell can't stop it. There is nothing that can stop God in the salvation of his people. Acts chapter 20, in verse number 15, it says this. Acts chapter 20, I'm in the wrong book. It's the revelation in chapter 20, verse number 15, it says this. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is the eternal God going to allow anybody that's in the book of life to be cast into the lake of fire? Is the blood of Christ, is it going to prevail? Or is God, is he gonna pay the same sins twice? Is he going to pay back the same sins twice? Is the Lord God says, I will hate those who hate me and I will pay them back unto their face, right? But when Christ paid at Calvary, he paid for all of his elect people that you and I might be delivered. And judgment is never going to strike the same sins twice. It is never going to pay back the same sins twice. That's why once I'm in Christ, all my sins are forgiven, all of them. And he will bring me and bring you unto obedience, and nothing can stop it. Not the devil, not me, not you, not anybody else. As I saw this online, a man said that if we don't believe the gospel, then God has no more power. That's not true. He's got power to make us to believe, to persuade us and to convince us and to deal with our hearts. But if he doesn't, if we resist God successfully, we're going to hell. We're going to hell. If we are in opposition, if we die in opposition, if we stay in opposition, we're going to hell when we die, which is the second death, which is the lake of fire. This gospel is absolute. It is non-optional. It cannot be changed. It cannot be wavered with. It cannot be toyed with. It cannot be explained away. It must be received as it absolutely is. That's the gospel of the sovereign grace of God. Acts, please, in chapter number 12, and I want to look at the second thing here that's in this text, in verse number 19. I have to be a little bit more conscious of our time here, my time. The scripture says in Acts 12:19 that he, Herod, examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. I'm trying
is to warn you to believe the gospel and accept it as it truly is. Its eternal security is a part of, it's a part of the gospel. Because if I'm not eternally secure in Christ, then I'm really saved by works. I'm really saved by my performance. It's really about what I do instead of what God's done. And what I'm telling you is the salvation that's in Christ, you can't lose it. Because if you've got it, it keeps you going unto the end. You endure unto the end, that you persevere, that you fall down, but you get back up. A righteous man, he falls 7 times, but he gets back up. He's a righteous man by faith. He has a new heart. He loves God. He just stumbled. He's Peter. He's not Judas. That man Judas is an unrighteous man. He's a hypocrite. He never had the love of God. He was prophesied in the Psalms as a betrayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He would lift up his heel against him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. As he made his statement about him in the book of John in chapter 17 and verse number 12. Now, this is before the cross. It's the prayer from John 17 in chapter 18. It's he will be taken and everybody shall forsake him in the next chapter. Everybody shall run away. But look what he said in chapter 17 and verse number 12. It's the Lord Jesus says that while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. He's speaking unto the Father. Those whom you gave me. This is the special election of God the Father. I have kept. Is the sheep hear his voice? I have kept. And none of them is lost. They're all going to run away. They're scared, human. And failure is a part of their, it's of, it's the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, he said. It's in their DNA. It's in their gene pool. It's in the flesh that it will act fleshly sometime. The Apostle Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do, I don't want to be doing those. It's sin that's in me. But the Lord Jesus says, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Not one of them is going to hell. Not one of them, it could be Peter, James, John, it could be Andrew, it could be Matthew. Not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. I didn't lose anybody, he said. I didn't try to save him and I failed. That's impossible. How can God fail? How can spotless Jesus Christ fail? The Son of God fail? That's impossible. He said, I never tried. I never tried. I gave him the offer. I preached unto him. I begged him. I wept over him. But Peter and James and John, I saved, because they were given unto me by God the Father, and it was my responsibility to save them, not to make an effort, not to try and fail, and not to leave it up unto the people. You and me against the devil? What kind of odds are those? I'm a losing battle. But when I get God on my side, and he covenanted my salvation and your salvation, he can't be stopped. That's what salvation is. That's what it is. And whoever trusts in him shall be saved. He'll keep us unto the bitter end. But the problem, men and women, is if we reject this gospel, is we're going to hell. Is for fighting God. Is the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 1, this is a scary text. This is a scary portion of scripture. I have no option but to believe the blessed gospel. I have no choice but the gospel. I have no hope but the gospel. I'm going to believe the gospel no matter what, and no matter as to what it costs me. The gospel is worth everything that we have got. It's worth our life. It's worth our death. It's worth our blood. It's worth our eternity. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 8 and 9, it tells us the consequences of those who challenge and who fight the church of God. We'll start at verse number 7. It's to give you who are troubled rest with us, if you're being persecuted at home or in the streets or by your family over the gospel. It's when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. It was Herod, it was those soldiers, and on those who do not obey the gospel. Anybody in this building now, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's our phrase again, the gospel. Not a man-made gospel, but as it truly is. Verse number 9, here's the horror. These shall be punished. It's with everlasting destruction, everlasting wrath and anger from God. There will be no drop of water in hell. There'll be no pity, there'll be no patience from God. As Father Abraham said, as he was speaking with the rich man, in this life, if you got all your good things, and in this life, that's when Lazarus, is he got all of his bad things. But now he's comforted, and you're tormented, and there's a great gulf fixed. I can't get to you. It's settled. As to where the tree falls, that is where it is. How a man dies, that's how he spends eternity. And the rejection of this gospel has a consequence that is so high, it's staggering. It's the human mind cannot comprehend. It's the human mind cannot conceive an eternal hell. I'm scared to preach on it. I'm scared to see it in scripture as it truly is. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, outskirts and banished, and from the glory of his power. He would have saved you if you believe the gospel. If you preach it, he'd receive you. if you come to him as a sinner. If you say, I'm wrong, and I need to be corrected, thank God for opening his word. Thank you for sending a messenger. I repented of everything I had ever taught. Guess when God saved me? I threw it all out. All the old sermons, the old pastors, their admiration was gone in my eyes. Everything I preached, it was wrong. Because it didn't give glory unto the Son of God. Oh, but look how happy I am now. I'm free. I've escaped the wrath of God. I'm settled. I'm assured. There's peace. There is power over sin in the gospel. There's a brand new life in the gospel. There's hope. There's joy and peace. But rejecting God is damnation. And there is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. There's not a man on earth who can prove any other gospel in the scriptures than sovereign grace. If you have this sheet, please just hold on to it. And then at the end of the message, because it can be signed, because it will distract us and distract myself as well. There is no other gospel. Let's take it. Let's believe it. Point number three is every simple and plain. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Predestination does not limit anybody from coming into the kingdom. It's not a door that shuts in people's face. It's a door that opens. It's not a shutting of the door and saying, if you can't come. It says that no man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him at the last day. If my Father sent me unto you, he says that I will draw you. He will draw you unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will come and be saved because he will not cast you out. Him that cometh unto me shall in no wise be cast out. All that the Father gives me shall come. So come, so come. All of the sins that you have committed and I have committed are not enough to stop us from being saved by God. I can be a hypocrite, I can be self-righteous, I can be proud, I can be evil in every way, but if I come unto Jesus Christ, he will save me. His soul has already commanded it, and he's already fetched me by the gospel if I draw near. Just come to him. Not to myself, not unto the preacher. It's a man over at the place as to where I'm staying, and he's been helping with the food, and he's asked me twice now. And so, are you a pastor? Yes, his question is this: do you pray for people? And the response that I give him is no. I preach the gospel so people can pray for themselves. You hearing me? His response was, but in Nigeria, pastors pray for people. And I tell him, I have nothing special. I'm nothing special. It's in the gospel that I preach that talks about Jesus Christ. He is the one that's received by the Father. He is accepted on our behalf. And if we go to the Father through him, not through the preacher, we shall be saved. And if we get a hold of that, we don't need anybody to pray for us. We can pray for ourselves. It's encouraging. It's helpful. It's helpful. But I can get to God by myself. And in him we have boldness. You don't have boldness in your pastor. He's a man like you. Alike passions and like failures. But through the blood of the Lamb, there's acceptance with God that is guaranteed for every sinner on earth who comes unto him. Predestination, it makes a man repent. If I'm predestined, I'm a repenter, because that's how I get into the kingdom. I come and say, Master, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And everybody comes the same way. I'm wrong, but I want to do what's right, and I'm trusting you. Whoever believes on him shall be saved. He will not cast you out. He'll accept you. He'll receive you. And then with everlasting life, with power over sins, with forgiveness, with hope, with joy, with peace. It's my last text. It's from Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a supernatural power that comes into your soul to set you free from the captivity unto sin, and to give us hope eternal. That's everlasting. Hope, joy, and peace by the power of God. Because as me and you believe on Christ, he works inside our soul. It's a gospel of the finished work of Christ and the power of God to save you. That's what the gospel is. Bless Almighty God. Bless his holy and his great name. Bless his wonder working. Oh, bless his goodness. And believe his gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. And then after the prayer, it'll be some time to ask some questions. If you have no question and you want to wait up until the end, because you're going to see that the second half is just an extension of this. But let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the gospel that's preached in your power. As we pray that every one of your servants in this building may preach your gospel with power and may teach your gospel with power, because we've experienced it in our hearts by faith, and you are teaching us and preaching into our hearts with power so that we can preach unto everybody else. As we ask, as you call out your elect people that are in this place, McCurdy, the surrounding villages and in this building. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, our Father, please use us. Amen. Is there any question here? Is there any